If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islami dini wal-Azam ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about, in fact, some of the rules related to fasting and Ramadan, since we are in the month of mercy, in the month of barakah, and in the month of Ramadan. So we're going to deal with this, in fact, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on Arabi English Radio. We are talking about some of the laws and jurisprudential regulations related to the month of Ramadan and fasting with Sheikh Javid. Sheikh Javid, you know, we may see for some people who are not strong enough, in fact, to practice the rituals of their religion, especially when we are talking about, like, the month of Ramadan, then fasting becomes very much noticeable, especially for those, for example, girls that you, in the last episode, talking about, like, the nine lunar years, right?
Yes.
So if it happens that a young girl is not strong enough, in fact, to fast because of her weak build, or yes, constitution, then she's really unable to perform even the qadha of the missed days of fasting, right?
Yeah.
So what is the ruling? What's the jurisprudential law about this?
Well, weakness is not an excuse for not fasting, or it's not an excuse for refraining from fasting, because when a girl hits puberty, or when she completes nine lunar years, then actually fasting is obligatory on her. And if she is unable to fast, okay, because of certain reasons, because maybe the weather is very hot, or the days are very long, and because of, as you rightly mentioned, because of the weak constitution, then she is not supposed to fast on those days, okay? But she must give the qadha of the fast. In other words, she must repeat the fast, or she must make up the fast in the following days before the next Ramadan. And so, but there's no penalty, there's no expiation that she might have to pay as a kind of atonement for not fasting, okay? The only thing that she must do because of the weakness, okay, let's assume that she was weak and she was unable to fast. Of course, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, and God does not obligate a person beyond her capacity, okay? Mm-hmm. If a girl, let's say a girl who is 9 years old, is not able to fast, she's not, and because of hardship, undue hardship, or difficulty that it causes, so she can break her fast, and in the following days after Ramadan, when the days are shorter or when it is easier for her to fast, she must make up the fast, and also she must not delay the fast until the next Ramadan, because if she delays it, then there is a kind of fidya that, or penalty that she must pay, and that is 750 grams of foodstuff which she must give to the poor for failing to observe the qadha of the fast before the next Ramadan.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, about fasting and Ramadan.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Mahajad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the very important topic of fasting and Ramadan, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, what's the ruling, what's the jurisprudential law for girls who have recently reached puberty and maturity, but kind of find it very hard, actually, very difficult to fast. You know, you talked about the lunar years of age when the girls, in fact, assume the legal responsibility, right?
Yes. Well, let's also consider the fact that, you know, sometimes we use the word legal, the age of legal responsibility. I think you did explain in the previous episode that we need to differentiate the legal responsibility according to Islamic Sharia and according to maybe man-made constitution.
Mm-hmm.
According to man-made law, a girl or a boy attains the age of puberty or legal responsibility at the start or at the end of the 18 years, solar years.
And yeah, depending on the countries and the states
where
they are state-run.
Yeah, from one country to another, yes. But according to Islamic Sharia, a girl hits puberty at the completion of 9 lunar years, and that's the age, that's the time when she must start practicing. She must observe Islamic laws. She must act according to Islamic Sharia, observing hijab, praying, fasting, and doing other religious duties.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to, fasting is obligatory, and it's not permissible for her to forsake or to, let's say, to ignore or to neglect her duty of fasting due to one excuse or another. Because there's an excuse, maybe there's a kind of maybe satanic temptation coming up to her mind. Okay, you're weak, you're not supposed to do it. Okay, the temptations might be there, and there might be some friends, there might be some people around her discouraging him, or maybe mm-hmm. you know, telling her not to fast because of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And such excuses should not be taken into account. Mm-hmm. When a girl herself yes. knows that she can fast, she can tolerate. Of course, fasting is going to have some effect on the individual's physic and body and everything. And weakness is there, hunger is there at the end of the day. But these are not excuses. One should have a strong excuse. For example, if fasting becomes harmful for an individual
mm-hmm.
and it becomes unbearable, extremely hard and unbearable, difficult to bear, then...
Like she, for example, goes unconscious.
Yes, of course. And when, for example, it is feared, you know, we should understand that fear of harm is also a valid excuse.
Uh-huh.
For example, sometimes you're certain that it's going to be harmful, and that
yes.
is, of course, in that case, it is absolutely forbidden to
mm-hmm.
fast,
yes.
because Islam does not want fasting to cause
mm-hmm.
you harm.
Yes.
And sometimes you have genuine fear of harm, and when you have that fear, you cannot fast either. So you have to stop fasting in order not to cause yourself any harm or any kind of complications which may arise as a result of fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So you should break your fast. And of course, if a person remains sick or ill
mm-hmm.
throughout the year, there's no qada.
Mm-hmm.
There's no qada. She's not supposed to repeat or to make up the fast. But of course, she must give one mud of foodstuff, which is 750 grams of anything which is considered to be food, like bread, like flour, or meat, or rice, or noodles, anything like this. 750 grams of these things for each day to a poor person. Someone who is Shia Muslim and who is needy and who is deserving,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Yes.
Not to any poor person, because we have different poor people. Some of them are Muslims, some
yes.
of them are non-Muslims. When we talk about poor people, we mean the Shia needy Muslims who are poor and who deserve to receive help.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, a very quick question I might ask and squeeze in here at the end of this program or episode, Sheikh Sawid, and that is, you know, some people don't know when they actually reach their age of their ritual puberty, you know?
Yes.
So what's the rule about them when it comes to the, you know, performance of their qada of all of their missed prayers and fasting?
Well, these people are not to blame because they didn't know that they were
right.
They had attained or puberty, or they had reached the age of legal responsibility. Of course, these people who didn't know that they had reached the Shari'i puberty or adolescence or adulthood, let's say, and these are the words that are interchangeably used to refer to someone who has completed 15 lunar years or nine lunar years. So these are people who do not have to give any penalty, but of course the qaza is there. They are responsible for the qaza prayers, and they are responsible for the qaza fast. And they have nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Please keep us in your du'as, especially in this holy month of Ramadan. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو